of kid.
All I gotta say is Portland can't say shit.
It's scintillating. It's sensational. It's Seattle Sounders FC Soccer.
Welcome to Sounders Scuttlebutt. It is debate night in America, and it is debate night in Cascadia. I am here, Aaron Lingley, with your not Alliance Council president, even though it's debate night. We have your Alliance Council treasurer. Secretary. Got myself. Secretary and ECS Public Leadership, of which I am a part of, not leadership, but the league, which is about to start. Hello, Nicholas Biela.
Hello, greetings, welcome, salutations. Thank you for having me on.
Well, you don't have to say that because you've done like a third of the shows. So you're basically just, you're a co-host.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. I even got my little public
shirt. Yeah, you got the public shirt on. Well, and I think there was a Discord member that like referenced just you two as the hosts and didn't even mention me, even though I run everything from a couple weeks ago.
I had nothing to do with that.
I'm sure you paid him off.
I am very appreciative to be a part of this. I love helping out, love jumping in.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Yeah, Cameron may dive bomb us, but he had he's your president and it is debate night, but he was not at a debate. He was on a date, I think. So he might dive bomb us. I sent him the link to the show. But yeah. Tonight, I think we should talk about, it's been a while since we've recorded. It's been about 3 weeks. Part of that is because I actually went back to work at the beginning of August. So 2 months of baby leave and then getting back to work and figuring out what a schedule is like with a full-time like baby at home and commuting again. Like 2 months, I completely forgot how like life worked. I was just frolicking around my neighborhood every day for like 2 hours with a stroller, smiling baby in the sun, getting a tan, losing weight, feeling great. And then I go back to work and it's just hot, sticky, and pissy everywhere in Seattle. And I love Seattle, but I do work in a building that has its own alleyway and it smells wonderful. So anyway, it's been a jam-packed few weeks for the Lingley family, and I really wanted to record tonight, and Cameron couldn't, and you can. So here we are, Nicholas.
Good to know that I am second fiddle, but I will take that.
Yeah, you. Yes, I mean I called you after. That's but I called you after the host of the show. So
hey, again, I know my place. I'm very comfortable with my place. I know it. I'm grateful.
So you're gonna be uncomfortable. Cheers. What are you drinking?
Well.
A glass
you
there.
Cracked. I do have a glass, but now I need to crack. I know, I got exciting. I do have a kegerator at home, so I always have something on tap. Currently, I have Hellbent's Helles, which is a nice light beer. But I also have a can because, you know, it's scuttable. I know Rubens. I'm not going to just finish one drink and got to get that sound effect. So let me open this can up and I'll tell you what I'm drinking. There we go. And this is the Reuben Crikey IPA. Yeah, so delicious. Kind of a little bit of, you know, a little Helles, little IPA. I just came back from a Pebble League event. We had our preseason party tonight. So at this point, I'm just confused. I had some ciders earlier tonight. And so now I'm just like, just rolling with it, I guess.
Just got like a mixed punch bowl in your belly of beer. Insider.
You know, it'll feel great in the morning.
Or not.
That's a problem for future me to worry about.
Yeah, future you. That's tomorrow me is not.
Future me thinks present me is an absolute asshole.
But present me is having so much fun. I am drinking, which I already cracked open because I was so excited to drink it, Kirkland Signature Hard Seltzer. It's really rare. It's not from around here. Probably never heard of it.
I have not.
We went to Costco. And so we have a lot of them. And I'm going to help get rid of them. This is the lime, which my wife doesn't like the lime or the grapefruit as much as the other two.
That's me. I love the citrus. Give me the lemon, the lime, the grapefruit. I am all in.
I'm indifferent with that, but sometimes like the mango one, mainly because I probably thought the yellow one was lemon. So I took a sip and it was mango and I was like, this is delicious. But if I knew it was mango, I'd be like, oh, it's pretty good. But anyway, they're just refreshing and we have a lot of them, but I really want a beer right now. I would like a beer, but this will have to do.
You know, we really just got to do a recording in-house together, all of us together, just a round table recording. And let's make it happen.
Just a drinking circle jerk?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
You said it.
Explicit, check. That was the first one. So for this show, we're not going to cover about what'd you do? What did you just do? Did you just spill your beer?
No, my ECS branded Pub League coaster from like a decade ago. This is like three logos ago. It was so wet. It sticks.
You
to
got
the
one
glass.
Of those glossy coasters. You gotta get something that breathes.
Actually, that's actually a good idea. I should probably order some Pub League coasters for all the players and just give those away as gifts this year.
Yeah. Anyway, and since you really interrupted by dropping your coaster on your crotch, let's not cover the last three or so weeks. Second half of the show, we'll let's talk about that crazy match in Columbus that was interesting. I don't think I've ever seen a Sounders game like that. I don't remember that. I remember Casey Keller getting in a red card.
Yeah.
Eons ago, but I don't remember quite a match like that. And so I definitely want to talk about that.
Yeah, and Alex Roldan spending the last 15 minutes, you know, like 5 minutes in stoppage time in goal was a little different. Matter of fact, I have my Alex Roldan goalie jersey right over there because I loved that moment so much. The next day I went and bought that. But that is a rare, rare occurrence. We'll get to that later. We'll just leave that there.
It'll be fun. And then, well, of course, we got SKC coming up on Sunday, the first of three home matches. And I think we have like six of seven at home or something crazy like that, or five of seven at home? Is there seven matches left? I haven't even checked how many matches we have left.
You're really not sure?
I'm really not sure how many matches we have left. I just know the majority of them are at home and three in a row, I think, start this Sunday.
There's five matches left.
No shit. Okay.
I'm sorry, six matches left. I'm not counting Kansas City.
Okay, we're meeting.
But six matches left, and four of the six are at home. The next three, then we go on two on the road and finish against Portland at home.
Yeah, I guess Portland did happen since the last time we recorded two. I don't really want to talk about that. We're going to stick with Columbus and then go into KC. But for the first half of the show, let's just check out some scuttlebutt and see what's like been happening. Rusnak had a wonderful match and got some accolades. So we'll see what's going on there. Any other soccer-related things you want to talk about? And then I had an idea, that's a fly in my face, that since it's debate night, that you and I should have a debate. So I dropped it in the Discord a little earlier, and Seed97 dropped us a couple questions. Determine who will be the for and against on each topic before we read them off and just have some fun with it.
All right. I love
it. It's debate night. And for Cameron, it's masturbate night.
Well, that sounds like a sign that the date didn't go so well.
Yeah, well, he'll have to tell us. Hopefully he gets on.
Let's not talk about that. Let's not ruin the date. Yeah, no.
Could be his future wife right now. We're just dissing him.
You know, and the worst part is, you know damn well, at some point in the evening, he said, yeah, I run a podcast. And if things went well, she's like, oh, maybe I'll check out that podcast. And the most recent episode. And 9 minutes into the episode, this happens. We are sorry. We are assholes. Ignore us.
But keep listening, or at least download the show and give us 5 stars. You don't have to leave a review. You don't have to leave a review. In fact, you can email us at
I don't know. Give us 5 stars, but give us the review about this moment. I think that'd be even better.
Yeah, that actually would be really hilarious. Hi, it's Jill. I'm the one you were talking about. You're an asshole. I don't know if it's Jill. I don't know her name. I don't know who's going out with. Anyway, we should get back to this. So Scuttlebutt, what's going on? So Albert Rusnak, he had his first hat trick.
Yeah, it's very rare that a player plays over 200 MLS games before their first career hat trick, but he did it. My question to you is this hat trick, does this hat trick get an asterisk?
No, I don't think so. And nothing illegal happened in the match, right? There was no cheating. I don't think so.
All right. I agree, mainly because I hate Columbus. But I think, yeah, I mean, you can only play what's in front of you. Columbus took a gamble. They lost. They lost that gamble. They sharded.
Like they couldn't have brought up, you know, a youth keeper to be on the bench.
Could if they were going to sign them to a contract, and they chose not to.
Yeah, so that's why it's on an asterisk. They made a tactical strategic error, and I had to do with front office movement. Yeah, so what? Whatever. And we kick the ball and it win the net.
Four times.
The offense is back. We're like, this is like the Mariners. Like, I don't even believe that game even happened. That was 16 runs. No. Oh, we got shut out the next game. Okay. That's more like it. Anyway, but I mean,
along for the ride.
I don't think it has an asterisk, and neither does whoever votes or provides this accolade of, what was it called? The man of the match weekend.
Are you just watching the game or are you just looking at the stats? Hey, good for Rusnak. He's
player of the match day.
Yeah. Quietly had a very, very good season.
Not quietly on this show, but yes.
No, but yeah, I think some people are awesome. Yeah. So really happy to see that.
So you agree that it's not an asterisk match. But obviously we benefited greatly.
100%, but the same could be, you could say that for multiple things. You could say that for, you played a half up a man. Of course, not having a
happens all the time.
Regular goalie and net. But you just got to roll with it. Take it. You got it. There's definitely a world out there in which that happens and we tie the game 0-0.
For sure. Well, anyway, we're going to talk about that game, but as it relates to Albert Rusnak, I mean, you still have to kick the ball and get it in the net, right? And he's having, I mean, he's got 12 assists and 8 goals this season.
Yeah.
In 2020 minutes.
Well, I mean, that's what happens when he plays more of his natural position. The last few years, when we signed him for Champions League. That's why we brought him on, was to win Champions League. And he helped us do that. But the last 2 years, we brought him on knowing that he wasn't going to play the position that he's most natural at because we had Nico Lodero.
And to that point, I'm looking at, so his best year with Real Salt Lake in terms of goals and assists, I'm just looking at stats, but was 2021 and he had 11 goals, 11 assists in 3,000 minutes. He, this year, getting back to a position he's more familiar with, right?
Yeah.
8 goals, 12 assists, 1,000 less minutes than that. Over 1,000 less minutes than his best year with Real Salt Lake, the year before we decided to sign him.
Yeah. I mean, well, right? Keep in mind, Salt Lake at that time, it was the old ownership. It was in that transition. So they needed him to be the focal point. Here, he was never supposed to be the focal point. He was always going to have people around him. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was a slow burn to get started for various reasons, mostly on a healthy side for the team. But and obviously not playing in his natural position. But it's very encouraging. I'm very happy for him. I really like Rusnak. And so I'm just happy to see that.
Yeah, I mean, both Cameron and I have both been pretty vocal about, well, how much we like him, but what he's doing, even with his position with Nico Lodero. Like, he was a huge, him and JP was a formidable middle of the midfield, and, you know, with the help of the defense, but JP intercepts, gives it to Rusnak, unlocks, and Nico, key pass, assist.
Well, like, it was really like controlling a lot of that area, and that's why last year when he was in that position for most of the year, even though we weren't getting a lot of offense, we had a very, very, very strong defense, one of our best defensive years ever. And it's no mistake that was the case. You put talented players on the field, good things will happen. It's even better when you can get the talented players in their best natural position. So, you know, I think we're seeing a little bit of that. And the roles he was asked to play last year, I specifically remember coming onto the show and saying I wasn't worried about his lack of goals and assists because that's not the role he was being asked to play.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Another thing I found on MLSthocker.com is they have if the playoffs started today.
Oof.
So there's the Eastern Conference. They literally have it set up as like a bracket, right? So just as if it ended right now in the season, here's the seedings. You have Miami number one.
Okay.
Number two. So on the Eastern Conference. FC Cincinnati 2, Columbus 3, Red Bulls 4, New York City FC 5, I hate saying that, and Charlotte 6, and Orlando 7.
Correct. With
and Toronto, then you have wild card of DC, Toronto and DC. Yeah. Okay, you're looking at it too. All right. Yeah. Then we have LA Galaxy number 1, LAFC number 2, Real Salt Lake number 3, number 4 being Colorado, and there we lie at number 5, followed by Vancouver 6, Portland. Houston 7, yeah. And then Portland and
Minnesota.
Minnesota in the wild card. So they have us battling in the fifth seed.
Now the problem,
we know why, but like we average finish in second place. So with these matches remaining, if we go on a hot streak, we might be able to get there, maybe.
Well, we got to. But because unfortunately, two of those teams in that 3-7 gap are problematic for us. And that's RSL in Colorado. Both of those teams, it's very hard to go up into the altitude and get results there. We see that all the time. Now, the counterpoint is, for whatever reason, it feels like when we're playing in RSL or Colorado, it's always like these midweek games when we just had something big where we don't play our starters. Is that's just what it feels like anecdotally? Does that track for you?
I guess so. Yeah. I had never thought about that, but when I think back, I see like, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
So it's tough. So how much of it is, how much is of the success by the home teams in those games is because they're better than us? How much of that is because of altitude, and how much of it is we're taking a little bit of a calculated punt on the game, playing a more defensive lineup? Ultimately, I don't want to find out. I would rather we get on a little bit of a tear, go for that number 2, number 3 seed and take on a Houston or a Vancouver. Or fuck it. Let's just bring on Portland and let's just exercise those Portland playoff demons.
Exercise the demons. Yeah. I mean, there's other demons we might face in the playoffs as well. Considering we've faced them three times, but either way, yeah. So yeah, this has us against Colorado, and if we advance through that, it would be LA or wild card winner, which could be Portland. Or I see, I see Portland beating Minnesota because
there's still plenty of time. There's still so much going on. So yeah.
I do see a Western Conference semifinal of Seattle and Portland, which would be funny. And I don't think I'd like that. I just, that playoff loss to them still just like, icky. What are you looking at?
Well, just kind of looking at that standings, and I was just trying to think about, well, there's five games. Out. Yeah, just trying to map that out. And it's,
look at us sitting at number five, man.
I mean, well, keep in mind, taking a look forward,
points.
We have Kansas City. So what we're looking at right now is we're looking at Kansas City. We're looking at San Jose, Houston, Vancouver, Colorado, and Portland. So two of those are not playoff teams. Four of them are. And they're all right around us, the playoff team. So we really control our destiny. We really do. So let's see what we've got.
Yeah, same. Looking at,
because those games, all of those are Western Conference foes. All of those are going to be 6-point games. Yeah.
Yeah. Man, if
I am a little worried about that San Jose game. It's, you know, a Sunday game followed by a Wednesday game. So, you know, three nights later, that sucks. But at least they're both at home. So at least we got that going for us. But then later on, we have two road games. Our two road games are 3 days apart, Vancouver and Colorado. At least Vancouver's not a far trip. So, I guess,
yeah,
the best of it.
I mean, they'll be home. They could, yeah. I that's not as bad. But I'm looking at San Jose. They're giving up over 2 goals a match.
Yeah. But the Heritage Cup is on the line. They got something to play for.
Yeah. Well, they're going to give us 2 goals unless we fumble over ourselves. But either way, I mean, I don't know if I want to ask this question now or in the second half of the show, because it's more related to just the
sound. It's more future.
Outlook, so let's talk about it later. But
yeah.
Well, do you have any soccer-related stories or news bits or anecdotes that you'd like to share?
I do. Actually, yes. So on Friday, we opened, and we being the Sounders, the Rave Foundation, but more importantly, all of us Sounders fans, the Alliance, season ticket holders, opened the fan-funded field. Two seasons ago, we launched a massive fundraising campaign, we being the Alliance Council, as part of the Rave Foundation's 26 by 2026, where they're trying to build 26 mini pitches before the 2026 World Cup. One of the things we wanted to do was we wanted to fund one entirely by fans instead of getting corporate partnerships, as is the case with most of these fields. And so we raised about $50,000. I personally donated a couple game-worn jerseys, a Lodeiro jersey, a Roldan jersey, raised about $1,500 just through those two jerseys alone. So, you know, pretty proud of doing that and putting a lot of work behind the scenes to try and raise money. And the grand opening of that was this Friday at the Sylvester Middle School down in Burien. And so went down to that. A lot of Alliance Council members were there. A lot of local kids were there. Really great event. Brad Evans was there. Roman Torres was there.
Roman.
Yeah, well, that was really exciting for me because my daughter, Roma, this was the first time she got to meet Roman. And part of the reason we named our daughter Roma was because the night we were sitting in Toronto before the 2016 MLS Cup, my wife and I were sitting in the stands about an hour before kickoff. And we said, hey, no matter what happens tonight, we've been married a little over a year. We're ready to start a family. When we get back to Seattle, let's start trying. And it took us a little bit of time, but that means
having sex.
It does.
People say that means we're having sex.
But yeah, so Roman Torres scored the game-winning goal that night. But Roma kept coming up in positive ways throughout our everything. My wife Your lived story. In Rome. My mother's middle name is Romana. My wife's grandmother's name is Romana.
Your favorite neighborhood in Mexico City is
Roma. That's exactly right. Yeah. So ultimately it was really wonderful. We got to have a really cute photo of me, Roman, and Roma together. And he signed I have his game worn MLS Cup jersey from 2017. Unfortunately, the year we lost, but it is cool that I've got his game worn jersey from that game. And I had him sign that. That was the first time I've gotten to meet him since I acquired that jersey. And, but more importantly, every kid there, there are about 100-150 kids. Every kid there went
home with their own
soccer ball. There was one for every kid. Every kid got their own soccer ball. Because that's the important part of these fields. Each of these fields, the goal is to provide a place for kids to play and giving them a ball. The idea is every kid that lives within a mile of this field should have their own ball. So they have a place to play and a way to play. Soccer for all. If you travel through a lot of soccer positive countries, a lot of cities will have these little fields everywhere. And so it's just kind of taking that concept and really bringing it to a local Seattle and Washington audience. So could not be more proud to be part of that. Had a great time with that. And we're still, we being Rave Foundation. Rave Foundation is still working towards building 26 for 26. I think they've actually increased that. They're trying to double it, if I remember correctly. They're on pace for 26. So they're really trying to build as many of these as they can. And if you haven't had a chance to visit one of these fields, go to the Rave Foundation website, check it out, go visit one of these fields. They're really wonderful places for kids to play. And the idea is these fields cannot be rented, that they are free play, open play for everyone. So they can't be reserved. So that anyone
not even ECS Pub League is allowed to reserve them.
That's exactly right. And so these are things that are really speak to my heart. Soccer for all is really important to me. So that was a really big deal this week, and
really cool.
It was a wonderful event.
I'll have it in the show. I'm doing it right now. RaveFoundation.org is in the show description.
Yeah.
And check that out. And you said it's Sylvester Middle School?
That one, yeah. In? Yeah. And so there's
is it one of the 26 or
it is. It is.
It was okay.
So they are building they've already built quite a few of them. I think a lot of them are on the Rave Foundation website.
Yeah, they are.
I've been to a number of the grand openings for these, and each one, if you get an opportunity, join the Rave Foundation mailing list. Come on out to one of these grand openings because it's such a great community event. Seeing the joy on kids' faces when they get to, you know, break ground on these fields. It's really something amazing.
Was that the 26th field?
I don't think it was the 26th, but they're definitely jumping up. They're ahead of schedule.
Well, they're done with 26. I'm on their site. 26 more fields by 2026. So we've reached 26 fields by 2026. But we still
now some of those may not have actually some of those may not have already opened. Some of those may already be committed but not opened.
So, okay. So I don't want to, I'm not comfortable speaking to that because I'm not entirely sure. Another way you can always help is the 50-50 raffles at every Sounders game. I believe the 50% usually goes towards the Ray Foundation. So, something really awesome.
Yeah, 50% to a lucky fan, and 50 while the remainder will be donated to the Ray Foundation. Yep.
Yeah, and yeah, so
right here,
so,
with the fact checks.
No, it's true. Like it really is wonderful. Just building the community that we want to see around soccer. Obviously, if you're listening to the show, you love soccer. Obviously, we care deeply about soccer. And this is just something that's just really near and dear to my heart and want to give as much visibility to it as possible because it's such a worthy cause.
Yeah, totally. Again, link is in the show description.
Thank you.
Yes. Also, our link to the Discord is in the show description. Join it.
Yeah.
Let's see. We have 42 members on there, actually. Pretty stoked on that, considering I have been silent for like 3.5 weeks. But that's enough people that they're talking. So
it's a fun community.
I'm awake.
Friends. You know, something that came up today, the suggestion at the Pub League kickoff preseason party was, oh, we're going to get to the point where we're going to have a Pub League segment because you, me, and Cameron are all now in Pub League.
So, yeah, like a Pub League.
Pub League Corner.
We can do a weekend recap.
Yeah.
What was that? Yeah. Yeah, dad.
We're going to bore people. Yeah, bore people. Bore people.
This means we need to take a break. All right, let's do the fight song and let's talk about that crazy Columbus match and SK. Oh, we didn't do the debate.
I thought that was the second half.
Was it?
I thought you said that was going to come in the second half.
Well, the fight song's coming. It's overtaking me right now. So, yeah, second half. Ah. Tonight, debate night in Cascadia.
You pay for the whole seat, but you only need the edge. Debate
night. Kids listen, only $10. All right, yes, debate night in America and in Cascadia. We are going to do, because this was totally the agenda and the time that I wanted to do this. We are now going to.
I have not seen any of the questions yet. So,
well, it's only two. It's only okay. Two, and I haven't really. I don't know if I'm for or against, and I'm not, and I only read it only a couple hours ago. So this is from Seed 97. He put in our Discord and said, "Give us some a couple of good debate questions." So we got to figure out before I read them who's going to be for and who's against. I don't know what's the best random way to do that.
You know what? I don't know what the question is, so I'm going to say I'm against. Without knowing what the question is, let's just roll with it. I'm going to take the against position.
Okay. Since you just jumped right into the pool, I will let you hear me first, okay?
Okay.
And I'm not going to set a timer, but let's act. We suck at this, by the way. Brevity, we suck at it. So this is going to, we're going to try, we're going to aim for 20 seconds. So then we actually land at around a minute or two.
Okay.
It's not actually going to be 20 seconds. You see what I'm, it was a joke.
Okay.
But let's keep it. Let's try to be.
I'll do my best. I can do brevity.
Okay. So you're against.
I'm against.
Okay. For this question, do we realistically have an MLS Cup winning team? You are against that, and I am for that. Well, soccer's a funny sport. Did you watch the last match? Am I right? Am I right, everyone? All right. So yeah, if their field players are always in goal, then yeah, we're winning the MLS Cup this year. Absolutely. I do think, seriously, in all seriousness, I mean, we can critique Schmetzer all we want, but he does have the experience. Now, it's been coming up, which is crazy. It's going to be 5 years since 2019. I feel like, one, maybe because that was kind of like a, well, it was at home, and this is a horrible debate, by the way. I'm sorry. But I'm just thinking, it's been 5 years since we last were in an MLS Cup. But he still has that experience. We still have a really strong core team that we've had for a number of years. I can see a path. Yes, we're De La Vega, who got through this last match unscathed. He's been looking good. That chemistry, I can see a path where, yes, we start connecting and scoring goals at will when it's a professional goalkeeper in goal, where I think that's been the struggle. So I can see that clicking right now, and we have some pretty good competition coming up. We're going to have the juices flowing at home to help kind of spur that offense. I can see a good streak where we climb the table and finish in our average spot, and we have a good record of going to the playoffs with Schmetzer and getting to an MLS Cup final, and you never know what could happen. So that's my argument. Yes, I think we haven't tripped up too much lately, and things are getting a little more consistent from the roster standpoint and availability. I think we could start seeing some fruit bore. Does that make sense? Does that work? Yeah. Fruit bore? Bear fruit? We're going to start seeing seeds bear fruit. Are you frozen or just staring at me? You're frozen.
That was really weird, by the way, because it was like this Atari everything. I got these weird like pink square rectangular pixels like throughout all my window, and everything just shut down. I was like, what the hell is I've never seen anything like that before. Okay. So I'm going to respond to you. However, I want to acknowledge that right as you were throwing it to me, my computer completely crashed in a weird situation. So in the flow of things, if this sounds a little awkward, that's why. Okay.
Or I edited it so perfectly, people are like, what are you talking about, Nick?
I'm just making a complete ass of myself. No. Although, interestingly enough, this feels very anti-me. Usually I'm the optimist. And so asking to say why we're not going to make the playoffs, I'm going to do my best here. So reality is this. Reality is to make the playoffs, or not to make the playoffs, I'm sorry, to win MLS Cup. That was the point there. You've got to beat the teams in front of you. We've had a hard time beating teams that are in the playoffs right now. We've had a hard time with Portland. We've had a hard time with LAFC. We got Minnesota. Hey, we're doing good. Bring on Minnesota. Wherever Minnesota is, let's play against them. I got to be careful about starting that trouble. We've been hit and miss. But the problem is, I feel like we struggle to score goals. When the playoffs come, goals are at a premium. And if a team gets ahead of us, they're going to bunker, and it's going to make it very, very difficult for us. The reality is we're probably not going to be a favorite in that, and we're going to need a little bit of help. We're going to need to get on a hot run. We're going to need some good things to happen. I don't think I've seen enough from this team to see a run of multiple games in a row that would be needed to win MLS Cup for us to get hot. I just don't see enough out of that right now. And that's just an unfortunate reality. Could it happen? Sure. Absolutely it could happen. Am I feeling confident enough to start, you know, setting aside MLS Cup day? Don't make any plans on that day. Think about traveling somewhere on that day, which I've done in years past. No, I'm not feeling that confident. So I'm not anticipating that. And it sucks, you know, because you want to feel like, hey, we've got a great shot at this. But get in the playoffs and let's make it happen. But the reality is exactly that, is we need good things to happen in a very specific way for it to happen. I would put our odds, given our complete state right now, at maybe 5% of winning MLS Cup.
I wonder what the actual odds are.
That is a good question. I'd be curious what the actual odds are. But I'd say 5%.
Let me look it up.
All right.
Odds of.
And in the meantime, that's what I get for just blindly saying which side I'd be on before hearing the question.
Yeah, that was a very, very optimistic against. Could it happen? Sure. Yeah. You're supposed to say, damn, no, it will not. Damn no, I don't think I've ever said damn
don't
no.
Tell me how I'm supposed to react. I did my job. I said why it wasn't going
yes,
to happen.
You're right.
I appreciate that. As we kill some time while you're looking up this.
Now,
this,
do you understand? So even though I love sports, I can pretty much watch any sport. And I would love to sit in a recliner drinking for an entire day. I don't know why I've never been to a sports book. And so I don't really understand how odds work.
Oh,
but
the
I know
plus
big number
and the
is
minus
bad.
And yeah, like.
Do you understand?
No.
Okay, fuck.
Just. All right.
Well, anyway, it's the Seattle Sounders 3,600 versus Inter Miami's 180. So.
I guess.
I don't know what that means. And I'm sure there's plenty of you that do. So maybe go on the Discord and explain.
You know who
it
we need?
Us.
We need in this. We need Pub League alum. And fellow Alliance Council member and professional gambler Scott Chupak to join
Chupak,
us. Chupak,
yeah,
Scott.
We can have a betting
your teammate. Yeah. Actually, yes. If we are ever doing anything gambling as part of Scuttlebutt, bring Scott on. Scott is legitimately a professional gambler. That is his job. That's why he usually doesn't play Pub League in the fall, because he's usually in Vegas on Sundays for football season. Yes. Bring
Scott.
I did not
know that.
Oh no, Scott. Yeah. Scott's awesome. Scott's a really great guy. But he is your gambling.
I didn't know.
Yeah,
I didn't know.
But he is your gambling and he's,
wow.
He's got his mathematics down. It's really fun because we will talk about, like, some of those data analytics things, whether it's gambling related or not. He's someone that's fun to talk numbers with.
Well, yeah, Scott, if you're listening, get in the Discord and explain what the hell 3,600 means. Because that's a big number. That's good.
No.
It looks like no. It looks like it's pretty low. And so maybe I was trying to get something on more on the lines of when you said 5%. It'd be nice to see if you were close.
Well, I think in the way you would have to do that with the Vegas lines is you would probably have to take kind of everyone's odds and then aggregate that and compare them to each other to kind of figure out.
Now, if you got to rub your eyes with your glasses at your forehead, then let's not go there.
No, too much alcohol. No.
Okay. Well, anyway. Thank you for your opinion, sir. On to the next question.
Okay.
For the Sounders faithful. If I can find it. Could we beat LAFC in the playoffs in a fourth meeting this season?
Let me take my shot on this one first. Since I went blind, let me take this one. All right. Absolutely 100%. Absolutely.
Oh, so you're choosing four?
Yes. Okay. It is very difficult to keep beating the same team over and over again, much like it's very difficult for someone to take multiple penalties against a goalkeeper in the same game. The Starfire game literally was, we had the right game plan. Obviously, the field was a little shorter than Lumen Field, so we had some advantages there that played into our strengths a little bit more. Did take a questionable handball decision to have LAFC advance. But the point that I'm making there is that we know how to beat them. Would we be favored in the game, in a one-off game against them? No, probably not. However, obviously we saw it in 2019. And also I think we would be able to beat them. I would feel a little bit better. Well, you know, I'd welcome playing against them, because chances are good that if we're playing against them, it probably means we're in the Western Conference Finals. Assuming we don't completely shit the bed over the next few games, better knock on wood. We can play them. The problem is if they score first, which they've done in a lot of the games against us, they've scored early, that plays into their strengths, which is making the other team try and press, which opens up the counter. That is absolutely their strength. I feel confident that as the season goes on, they will be getting tired legs. They are playing a lot of games, much like we used to play so many games over multiple seasons with minimal breaks. It means we would fade down the stretch at times. I think that could happen. We could take advantage of that. I'm okay with playing LAFC. I think we can beat them in the playoffs.
Full transparency. I was going to say that if I believe you. However, I have to take a stand as against. So here's my argument for that. You're right. We'd probably be playing in the Western Conference Finals against them, and it would be in Los Angeles, where historically the Sounders have done well in the playoffs against them at. However, this is four straight, and it's four straight for a reason. I don't think we have an answer for Bwanga and his supporting cast. They are that elevated of a roster. They are that good. I mean, and Bwanga is a production machine. He's. I've yet to see a match where we've been able to govern him at all.
He's really good.
He's pissing me off.
He's really good.
He doesn't piss me off as much as like a Robbie Keane or anything.
Agreed. He's not pissing me off like a Johnny Russell or someone who constantly scores against us because they're dirty. I don't think he's dirty. He's just really good. More like a
thanks for supporting my argument here in this debate.
Yeah. More like a David Villa.
Yeah.
Just really good at beating you, but he's not being a jerk about it, even though David Villa off the field is a piece of shit. But
he looks like he'd be a piece of shit on and off the field, but yeah.
Anyways, moving on.
Not moving on. It's my turn in the debate. You're interrupting me again. We need a moderator, clearly. But thanks for supporting my argument. But yeah, I don't think we have an answer for him, and I think he is capable of scoring and assisting pretty much at will if his teammates are gelling with him, if they're performing at least not to his standard, obviously, but if they aren't shitting the bed themselves. I'm like, with his kind of talent, it's pretty easy to be good around him, and they already have good players, and I don't think we've been able to figure that how to sever those ties that Bwanga is able to just kind of like, he's like Spider-Man. He just swings all over the place. I don't know what analogy I'm trying to get at. I don't have an answer for that guy, and I don't think Schmetzer does either. And he is capable of doing whatever the hell he wants, it seems like, against anybody.
Yeah.
So,
and am I correct that Giroux hasn't played against us yet?
20 minutes.
Did he play at the end of the, he didn't play at Starfire.
No, I feel like
the other game, the League's Cup game. The one before that. Did he play the League's Cup game?
Yeah.
The 3-0 game?
Mm-hmm. He was subbed on for like a few minutes in the match prior, and then he was subbed in for almost the same amount of time because it was, for them, a League's match was a weekend, I believe, right?
I don't remember him coming onto the field.
Either way, I don't even know what the hell he's been doing in the last.
But at the same time, at the end of that game, we were already down 3-0, so I wasn't really second
half of the game. I just think I honestly think there is a shot and real outsider debate, because it's really hard to be in any sport a team 5 times in a row. This is a talented enough team where I think they could shut anyone down, even talented clubs. I think this probably LAFC and Inter Miami in the final. Mm-hmm. And I have hope for the Sounders. I don't think that door is shut, but because anything can happen. A field player could be in goal. Anything can happen. Where a path can be laid that we get to the final, but we would need help. And LAFC is in the way.
They can are I ask you a question?
What? You may.
Would you travel to see the Sounders in an MLS Cup final?
In general?
This year?
Oof. There's a potential for that. And I wouldn't say no to that. But I can't, if you were, I don't know, what are you doing? This is making me uncomfortable. I'm like, am I going to ruin my shot to be able to go to a final if we make it?
I'm just asking. I clearly asking,
have to talk to my wife.
I mean, December, short notice, going to Miami, for example, not even talking about the clusterfuck that would be trying to get away supporter tickets for MLS Cup there. Just throwing that out there. Okay, just moving on. Don't want to count chickens. Just
I'd cluck.
Putting a bug in your ear.
I'd cluck with that. Yeah. Anyway, we'd have to beat LAFC. I don't think it'll happen.
Ooh, that's really good. I like what you did there.
Yeah.
I see what you're doing. Yeah. I see what you're doing.
So that's the debate. We were terrible at it. We need a moderator, clearly. And maybe instead of winging it, maybe we'll have a little more of a formal plan heading into the episode. But I think we got some good points off. I think we did a decent job. I think it could be better, but I think we answered the questions in their entirety.
Yeah. I think it's such a weird season, really. I mean, that's just kind of what it comes down to is, I mean, frankly, since May 5th, 2022, when we won Champions League, things have just been really strange ever since. We haven't really been fully healthy since then. I've talked about that on multiple occasions. Things have been a little weird on the ownership / front office side of things. There's been some unforced errors. There's been malaise there in the fandom. There's been, it's just been, frankly, it's been amongst the toughest times to be a Sounders fan that we've had. Let's just acknowledge that as kind of a truth. But the thing is, we don't suck. And the funny thing is that, I mean, that's how good we've had it for so long. And I just want a little bit of reality there is when you look at comments online, you'd think we were the Chicago White Sox with the futility of what's happening. But the reality is just a whole bunch of little things just kind of keep adding up, where it's almost like death by 1,000 paper cuts, where there's just a whole bunch of a little annoyances that just keep adding up.
I agree with that. I feel like because so let's, we'll cover this real quick and then we'll get to SKC and Columbus a little bit. But like, I feel like if you look at Garth, change in leadership there, new headquarters, new rebranding, you have Nico Lodero and that whole weird thing. And then he's still got some Rui Diaz. You didn't have a fresh start. Like, it's a changing of the guard is what's been happening. It's a new generation of a Sounders roster with still, it's kind of like we did this with the Seahawks. This feels like 2017-18 Seahawks, where it's like, what the fuck's going on? Why is he flipping him off? You know, like, but we weren't terrible. We still made the Seahawks missed a couple playoffs. We've now missed a playoff. We're back. We got back in it, but we, you know, half the season we were questioning if we're going to make it into this one. That would have been two out of the last three, not in the playoffs. You know, calling for Schmetzer's seat almost legitimately. Like, we had the Schmetzer line, you know, it's like, hey, if you're performing almost on par with what happened to Schmidt, you know, you know, so, and we've created the Ziggy Schmidt line. And so, did I say Schmetzer line?
You did. Yeah, but I know you meant.
So, anyway, yeah, it's been, and then couple that with even the force majeure of COVID, right? Yeah. That's fucked everybody, but it still fucked your club. It just making a weird season in the bubble in Orlando that wasn't quite what the NBA was doing. And that was just because I was watching both at pretty much the same time and thought it was weird. But, like, it's just, that was all weird, and that affects everybody in a myriad of different ways, you know, both personal and professionally, what can happen with how they operate as a club. And how did they handle that? Every club handled it probably in their own ways with some protocol legally and by MLS standards, but that doesn't mean they're, you know.
Well, so, some states were masking and social distancing. Some states were just open as business as usual and do whatever the hell you want. And you know, so
it's been a weird few years, and that was prior to 2022, which is the mark, you know, you're talking May 5th, but that kind of probably helped loosen the soil a little bit for when there started being a shakeup, which was, you know, gassing ourselves out, getting injured, Nico Lodero, Garth Lagerwey, and all these extra things happening off field with a new headquarters. You know, there's been a lot of distractions, and for the most part, and you said we don't suck. It's just, we're able to fight through this, but it's been kind of, we just feel kind of bruised everywhere, I think, as a fan base, but we're still kind of, we're not injured. It's just kind of sore. This has been a very sore, a taxing couple of years.
Well, I think it also, I think one thing you did not point out throughout that, which a lot of what you said certainly has, you know, we'll never really be able to analyze how much of it is due to one thing or another thing. And we're just kind of,
it's an amalgamation,
quarterbacking. Yeah. But don't forget that from 2019 MLS Cup to today, we've lost Chris Henderson, now in charge at Miami. We've lost Garth Lagerwey. We've lost Ravi Ramini.
Pineda on the bench.
Pineda. We've lost a lot of really talented people. We've lost sporting directors in our first team. Some gone back to Australia. Some went to Carolina. We've lost, I can't think of their names offhand, so that's why I'm being a little bit vague there. My apologies.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna try and remember it off the top
of my head. No, but it's been
So when you are as successful as we are, people want that talent and they want to bring that to them. Mm-hmm. And so each of those individually, it's like, okay, there's that. But when you start adding them up, and I don't know about you, but anecdotally, every time I start a new job, I feel like it takes at least 6 months for me to really feel like I'm starting to hit my stride at that job. And so now you're looking at you know, Andy Rose, and then you're looking at oh my goodness, who came in, Freddie Juarez, and you're looking
Freddie's been there for over a year.
It's true, but all of these people are coming in, and there's it takes time to bring these people in, and yeah. Same thing with our front office and replacements for Garth and replacements for our CFO Peter Tomazoa. So all of this, we just keep getting a lot of turnover. It makes it hard to get a cohesive vision where everyone's able to make their mark while trying to take what they've inherited and try and move from that. That takes time. And that is a hell of a lot of talented people who have left. And now the good news is most of those people who have left, I don't think anyone has left because of poor performance. People weren't fired. Every single one of them have left for a new opportunity, which is great because that means we were successful. But now we need to recreate that success. We need to rebuild that success. And that just takes time.
And that's probably, I mean, why you don't get rid of your coach that you've had. That's the common denominator, you know, yeah. With all that success, with bringing up, you know, coaching bait, like Pineda and the players. And yeah, so there's got to be some trust there. And yeah, it should be interesting.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm in for the ride. I'm very curious to see where it goes.
I'm ready to start getting excited. Like, let's just shake off all this ickiness and just like, I just want to fucking watch a Sounders game and be like, hell, let's fucking go. Let's win. Let's go.
You know what? That's a really great point right there. Let's talk about that for a moment if we can. And we'll kind of hit on that because I think that's a really important part.
Why don't you weave in some Columbus anecdotes just from the match so we can cover that?
No, that's really good. That's great.
A 2-hour podcast because me and you.
As soon as their goalie gets the red card, gets sent off, you kind of get this excitement, but also nervousness. You get this nervousness because it's like, if we can't score goals in this situation,
same fucking thing.
Exactly.
And I was so like, it's like, if we don't take advantage of this moment,
then I don't even know what I'm fucking doing. Mm-hmm. But with that in mind, and that's kind of the, as Cameron likes to say, the Seattle sports fan in us, those of us who recognize that, hey, this is the way it goes sometimes.
I'm not going down that road yet. Yeah.
But
I'm a Seattle fan. I know what's down there.
But with that in mind, it was really cathartic when literally on the first kick where Rusnak did exactly what he was supposed to do, which is, hey, you recognize that there's someone who's not a normal goalie. You just put it on frame. Yeah. You force them to make a save like that. Mm-hmm. That's he played that exactly right, which is just smack that as hard as you can. Just make sure you hit the net because, yeah, a normal goalie is probably going to make that save. He's going to trust his wall. He's going to know how to read that. That's not a normal goalie.
Well, you know, so let's talk about that for a second because that one, I would love that was in the initial, it wasn't some fluky corner or something like that. This is like, okay, you have a field player in goal.
Yeah.
He did not from watching, I did not see him communicate to his wall at all. That wall formed on its own. Standing there like, fuck, I cannot believe this is...
Because he's not even thinking about that. At that moment in time, he's so focused on the shot that he's not even thinking about the other natural roles that a goalie is supposed to do, which is manning the wall and directing them where they need to be. I think you're absolutely right there. I think you're absolutely right there.
Yeah. But I just want to say, I thought it was interesting that it was such a, like a kind of a microcosm for the match for him. Like you have to think and direct other people here, because he's had, he has no experience directing a back line.
Yeah.
In live play, right? So I thought, I thought it was an interesting test to see immediately. And if we did not score on a free kick, like, I was like, oh man, that's gonna be interesting to see how we
rewatching those four goals.
They're pretty good.
I mean, let's not
this wasn't a bunch of toddlers out there. It's just like,
yeah, these were good shots. Now, granted, we are up 11-10. Let's put it this way. If you watch those highlights and you didn't know that there was a field player in goal, you wouldn't go, oh, what the hell is the goalie doing on a lot of those shots? You know what I mean? I don't think you would even have realized something was amiss. Would you say that would be fair?
I mean, yeah.
And I'm not saying he was great. No, but it wasn't like a bungling of the situation. Like, yeah, they're taking advantages, but when you're professional athletes, the differences between a goal and not a goal are slim margins.
Yeah, and also there's still the nine other players in this case because of the situation of why he's in goal. But they set themselves up until it gets to a point where it's just, screw it, let's open this up and just fucking fly around and try to score as any way we can, nice, because
so
we have nothing else to lose.
On the faces of the team, though, like well, where they were trying hard to kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to mention that. But I do, again, just go back to it. It doesn't matter if you don't actually fucking do it.
Yeah.
And these are still starting level professional athletes trying to stop you. It's just, once you get your shot off and it's heading towards somebody, that person's who you have a big advantage over, because he doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. Everyone else knows what the fuck they're doing, and they're going to try everything they can to stop you. And we've had trouble unlocking our own potential. And
absolutely,
that allowed us, I feel like, the kind of confidence. I hope is key. I hope this gave us the confidence with the other like hints of other matches we've had that are like, see, you got this, figure it out. Let's go. 100%. Do that again.
And Columbus is a very, very, very good team.
I'm going to open my drink, my third one.
Let's get that sound effect. Ooh, that sounded good. I gotta say, I really like Wilfred Nancy. I really like him. I want to see him have a lot of success. I cannot believe Montreal let him go, but that's another story
he's
altogether.
Killing it right now. They're a good club. We got them with their legs cut off. That's for sure.
Super talented coach. Now, but keep this in mind. That's not a bad team.
That's what I was just saying.
You're 11-10. Okay. So you basically don't have a target forward. And instead, you just kind of do a low block and wait for a counter. And the Sounders still got four on them. So let's make sure that we give the Sounders credit, because it would be very easy for the team to just drop everyone back into the box, clog up the lanes, and not let any shots get through and just make it very, very ugly. Okay, they score on the immediate first kick. Then they just kind of lock it down, make it very ugly, a slog, and try and get something on the counter. That's not exactly what happened.
But you still had to overcome that kind of defense.
And that's what I'm getting at, is that you cannot look at that and discredit the four goals by the Sounders as saying, oh, it's a backup keeper. Yes, being up a man absolutely helps, but how many times have we been up a man and not put four goals on? Seriously. How many have we not put three on? Matter of fact, I'd have to look back. Like, looking back at all the red card situations, I don't know if I can recall us ever scoring more than two up a man. And that's just going off the top of my head.
I bet. Aren't the Kraken terrible at power play?
Well, that's a different story altogether. But,
or is it?
but
or is it in the marine layer?
But the point that I'm making is, it's so easy And this is kind of a Rorschach test. If you're feeling negative about the Sounders, you're going to say, oh, well, they had a backup goalie, so whatever. Of course, they're supposed to score 4 goals. Mm-hmm. But people don't do that. And you're discrediting that low block. You're discrediting all that. The Sounders still had to make that happen. And so let's give some credit for getting those shots off, getting those shots on target, and putting themselves in a position to make those goals. And also, that's just what I want to say.
I mean, in just our little pub league team training session we did, preseason training session, I mean, we did a 3-on-2 drill. Two defenders, 3 offense. We sucked. Granted, we're sure pub league, did. But, I mean, kicking a soccer ball is not as easy as it looks. Okay? So, it took an effort still to score. It takes an effort to score 4 goals. And granted, yes, we had a benefit of once the ball is flying in the air.
Thank you, because I was in goal for those, that drill. So thank you for that wonderful compliment. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And you saved 100% of my shots that were kicked directly at you, mind you.
You got them on frame. That's the important part.
And then I think I hit the crossbar on the header set portion, the last step of that drill. Yeah. I think I hit the crossbar like 3 out of 4 times.
But that's the important part, is get the shot on frame. And that's where the Sounders did well when they're up a man. They got the shots on target. They made the goalie have to make a save. So I want to give a lot of credit to that. And I don't want to shit on the fact that there was a goalie who wasn't a normal goalie. Mm. You know, so let's take that into consideration.
I think we both agree that was not an asterisk match.
I think we both agree that we'd like to do that again.
This weekend, please, against SKC. They are not doing well.
No.
They give up. They're definitely in the bottom the league in goals against.
But they still have Johnny Russell, and he just
that's the problem.
Kills us. Ugh.
Yeah.
You know what? Honestly,
he still listens to Sum 41.
I feel like I haven't hated a player more, like, outside of Johnny Russell. Like as far Lenhart. As a forward that scores goals.
Oh, okay.
I feel like Johnny Russell is like my modern Robbie Keane. I
100%.
I respect the fact that I got to pay attention to him no matter how bad of a season he's having.
The thing about
Robbie
Keane, though, is he was internationally talented and still an asshole.
Hey, Johnny Russell was Scottish. He's somewhat talented.
Is he Scottish? He looks like Chad Bro from Tempe or something. Okay. Sorry, yeah. Johnny.
No, he does look like he belongs on Portland, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
That beard and but no, he's Scottish. So I respect him. I do. I do respect him. I hate him because he scores goals against us. I think
that's what's the most annoying thing is you kind of have to respect him because he's
got good. 8 goals this season, 28 games. Just that son of a bitch.
Yeah. So what do you think's gonna what do you think's gonna happen this weekend? Do you think we're going to win? Let's just use a prediction to just disseminate why we think it's going to happen.
Okay. We've had a week off.
We've had a normal week.
Yeah. Thank you. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. No. So, I mean, we don't have a midweek game. I'm very curious what's going on with Raul. And by that,
why he's not going to play?
Well, no, I mean, Are we gonna get him to buy in and be a part of this team and get his head in the game and be an option off the bench? I don't know the answer to that.
I'm looking at their form of late.
It's not good.
1-1 draw against New York. And then they have us. So that's what I was going to check, is that I want to see if they had a midweek game or not. Just played a few days ago, just like us. Okay. I don't get really what your concern is with you don't think we're going to perform well this weekend against SKC because of Raul?
No, I think that's kind of separate thing altogether.
Just, so you're just worried about you're just worried about
Rock. Yeah, I'm just kind of curious.
Is this Malignant?
But the reality
I can hear you scrolling your mouse right now.
Sorry. the reality is that we struggle against Kansas City at times.
I feel like they're unpredictable to play. Like the outcome is unpredictable. You can do a prediction, but the prediction is just pulling something out of your ass because they can be terrible and then they might beat us 3-0. What happened earlier this year? What was the outcome of that match?
We lost 2-1, and that was the one where I think Reed Baker got a red card.
Yeah. Good memory.
And Johnny totally Russell did. Scored against us.
Double yellow, 73rd minute.
Yeah, and Johnny Russell scored against us again.
He opened it. I know he responded to our.
We're at home. I'm
Sunday at 4, which is weird.
It's also kids' day, so are you bringing Gracie?
Oh, yeah, no, we're not going.
Okay.
I'm basically after this, we're done recording. I'm going to be looking to find like the one match I want to take Gracie to, but we can't do anything this weekend.
Okay. Keep me posted on that. Keep me posted on that.
Okay.
Because it is fun when Roma and Gracie get together. It's always, it's always fun.
Adorbs.
So I just don't see a lot of goals in this. I feel like it's going to be frustrating. And I'm not going to lie. I just feel like it's going to be a frustrating game.
A letdown.
I think it's going to be 2-1 Kansas City. I think they're going to score first. They're going to score again. We're going to get one after the 65th minute when we start bringing on some subs, but it's just not going to be enough. It's just going to be the 2-1 score line will probably reflect the frustration of the day.
I don't really disagree with you. I think I'm trying to see like why almost in like how we were doing our debate. Like that seems the most realistic based on the season, right? Oh, something good just happened. So clearly something bad's about to happen. You know, but we did have a really good stretch there. Until we've seemed to kind of become even keel in the last few weeks, but we had a really good stretch. In the same vein that we needed to take care of business when they went down a player and they had to put a field player in goal.
Yeah.
This is still, regardless of who this club is from a ethos, this is still a club that's near the bottom of the table, giving up some of the most goals. No, they're not the most. I think they're like third or fourth or second
they're,
or something.
They're
like that.
Giving up a lot.
They're at the bottom. Was it 53?
Yeah.
So they're giving up basically 2 goals a game. So we should take care of business. We have no reason not to with De La Vega putting another good shift in and starting, actually. You know, he didn't play the full 90, right? He's a difference maker, and if he gets this time to gel, that I think is what unlocks this team. I mean, that's literally why he's on the roster for how much we're paying him, is he's supposed to be that player, and we're supposed to win with this roster.
Yeah.
So maybe it could be put together, and we should take care of business against a team. I think we're better than fifth seed. I think we're a better team than that, and I think SKC is right where they should be. So we should take care of business. I totally hear what you're saying, and I actually think that's probably what's going to happen, but it shouldn't. And if Columbus was real, a good team that on a back foot that we took care of. They were a good team that was set back, and then we finished them as we should. Yeah. We should be able to do that against a bad team.
And Kansas City did lose someone who's been starting a lot of games for them as of late, kind of a one of their youth players. Jake Davis got a red card late in stoppage time in the last game, so he will be unavailable, which, yay, we'll take any advantage we can get. Asterix. He's one of their center mids. Also from Rochester, New York. So a little Ra-cha-cha garbage plate guy right there.
Ra-cha-cha.
The Ra-cha-cha. I grew up about 60 minutes away from Rochester, New York. So very, very familiar with that area. So yay. We'll take any advantage we can get. But I do want to be wrong. I really want to be wrong because I want to celebrate a good win. I just want to go to the game, have a lot of fun, celebrate a lot of goals, just roll with it. But games against Kansas City just always seem so difficult.
But if we beat them, they feel so good.
Mm-hmm.
They feel so good.
Peter Vermees. Some of my all-time favorite games that I've gone to have been victories against Kansas City. So you're not wrong at all.
You know what I just thought of? And probably is a sign that we should end the show soon. But can you imagine being like, I don't know. You know when you're in a stall and someone else takes the next stall and it's just you two in that room? And you're like, oh no. I hate this. What if Peter Vermees was the other person? He's unabashed, just shit spraying in the toilet.
You're seeing his. Here's my problem. He would be. I'm simultaneously trying to go, what the fuck? While simultaneously, because you described this, I'm actually thinking about it and I'm picturing.
Oh, he's a bull sprayer.
Wait.
You know what it is? Like, how does it get up? How does it underneath the toilet seat?
Like, dude, you're going to need a lot of toilet paper. You're going to have to wipe your entire from your thigh. Okay, so
I didn't go as far as wiping, dude. That's too much. That's disgusting. We need to. You've crossed the line.
It's like a water balloon just spraying out and just.
Stop it, Nick. You're making me flush.
You opened this can of worms, and if anyone is still listening to this an hour and 25 minutes in, then you know what? Hats off to you. I'm sorry. Come find me. I'll buy you a beer. If you tell me that you listened to the Peter Vermees shit spray.
I think, yeah. Don't tell people while you're over the airwaves to come find you. You never know who's listening.
It's Peter Vermees is going to find me.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll
show you some shit spray.
So speaking of
I eat pieces of shit for breakfast.
You eat pieces of shit for breakfast? Peter Vermees, man, that guy's got to go. I don't know how he's stayed at Kansas City so long. They've had some bad years and they've allowed it to continue. I just don't like his negative style of soccer, his version of just like taking people out and daring the refs to keep carding it and to call the foul. I just don't like it. It's not, I don't like his style, and I don't like the people like Dom Kinnear, the coaches like them who were his acolytes, who kind of continued it on in other places. It's just his coaching tree is just some of my least favorite coaches to play against.
It's not an attractive way to play the game either. It's just not.
It's the equivalent of the New Jersey Devils neutral zone trap of the mid-90s NHL. It's not fun.
Ooh, very niche for the Seattle market, dude.
It might get it might get the job done. Okay, it might get the job done, but it's not fun to watch, and it's just very cynical. I'd rather watch my team lose 5-3 and see a lot of goals and see a lot of offense than to constantly win every game 1-0, but just
and everyone hates
very
it
cynical.
It. Yeah. You know, so have you seen Liar Liar?
Mm-hmm.
Like a number of times that you can picture characters that were maybe.
No.
So Jennifer Tilly is the antagonist,
yep.
right?
Yep.
Her little boy toy.
Okay.
Guy that she cheated on her husband with, right? Yeah. The whole like premise of the lawsuit.
Yeah.
That's Peter Vermes in the 90s. And now he, you know, that like, is it a crew cut? Whatever that like straight block fade is on like a roided big chin.
That, who's that guy? Boston actor? The one who was the, who was in Fallout briefly as the,
I didn't watch Fallout.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah, I didn't play the game because I don't know why. Probably because of life.
Michael Rapaport is who I'm thinking of. Kind of got that vibe. But the reality though is, unfortunately, I think you hit it with the piece of the shit for breakfast. Peter Vermes is like Shooter Gavin. Shooter McGavin. Like it really is. I could see Peter Vermes doing that. He was a, you know, he was a successful player on the U.S. national team in the early 90s. But still, no, fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy. All right. Well, our cheers is to the Sounders' victory.
Yes. That we both predicted would be a loss, a 2-1 loss.
I let you have the prediction of a loss, and I said that's probably the reality. Is that an admission of that?
I think so,
is?
Because you didn't predict anything else.
Probably reality. No, and I paved a path of winning, but I said that's probably reality. So we're probably going to lose, but anyway. Cheers to a Sounders victory, because that's what our hope is. That's what we're going to root them on. You'll be there. Maybe I'll be there.
Absolutely. It's kids' day. I'm bringing Romo. We're going to have some fun.
Where can they find you?
They can find me at Nikita Banana on Twitter. NIQUITABANANA. Nikita Banana. Or on Instagram at Cascades 2C. Cascades, plural. 2C. TOSEA. Come join. Would be happy to add you. If you want to talk soccer, you want to learn more about ECS Pub League, would be happy to talk about that. But more importantly, come join us on Discord.
Yes. Thank you, sir.
Yes.
Link in the show description.
That's right. That's right. It's fun. It's a good community.
I was going to say that I'm definitely more active, not in the last couple of weeks, but just because I get our life reset, but on our Discord than I am on, I think even on Twitter, definitely on Instagram. It's basically a running joke of our ineptitude at being able, if someone wants to be pro bono social media manager for us, that'd be fantastic. You can be on the show all the time if you want to.
You want to give me the keys?
Sure.
Give me the keys. What could go wrong?
You're alive, so I think we'll be all right. Sure. Oh, this might be fun.
but anyway. Seriously, come join us. It is fun.
Are you frozen again? Oh my god, I thought you were frozen, just like you were before. You just had your hands perfectly sitting on your chin. Like, there's no way you're just going to keep your hands on your chin for 5 seconds like that. That's weird. Then,
thank you.
Sure enough, you did.
Sure enough, I did. That's our cue to have James take it away, is it not?
It is. Take it away, James.
You can follow the Sounders Scuttlebutt podcast on Twitter at @SSFCScuttlebutt. And for all inquiries, including questions for the gents or sponsorship opportunities, please email contact@scuttlebuttproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show for new episodes following every Sounders FC match. And don't forget to share your feedback by rating and reviewing. And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BritVoxus. That's BritVoxUS. We'll see you at Lumen, and go Sounders.
Alexa, who's the best MLS team of all time?
Seattle Sounders are both unequivocally and irrefutably the best MLS team of all time.